In 1896, a pastor by the name of Charles Sheldon wrote a little book called In His Steps, which has become one of the most best-selling books of all time, selling more than 50 million copies. Well, in this little book, Charles Sheldon addressed some situations or presented some circumstances in which people would ask a question about what Jesus would do to resolve them. About 100 years later or so, Sheldon's ideas garnered traction once again and resulted in the production of a product line many of us are familiar with. So how many of you have ever seen a bracelet or a necklace or a bumper sticker with the letters WWJD on it? Well, WWJD stands for What Would Jesus Do? And what would Jesus do is a great question, because following Jesus means to do what Jesus would do. But there's another question that's an equally important question, and that is the question, what would Jesus undo? Because just as there are things that Jesus would do, there are also things in our lives that create barriers and roadblocks in our relationship with God, and Jesus would undo those things. It is these types of things that we're going to dig into in this series entitled, What Would Jesus Undo? Over the next 4 weeks. And today, we're going to look at a letter that Jesus wrote to a church in a town called Laodicea, which is recorded by one of his followers by the name of John. And in this letter, Jesus identifies indifference in relationship with God and in our approach to life as something that he would undo. And here's how Jesus starts the letter to the church at Laodicea. He says, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. Now, Laodicea was a very prosperous and a very powerful community. But Laodicea was also a community with a not insignificant challenge. They had an inadequate water supply. So they had developed and designed and constructed these elaborate systems of water ducts, aqueducts, to bring water in, hot water in from a town about 6 to 7 miles to the south, and to bring cold water in from the mountains to the north. So this elaborate system of water ducts would bring hot water in and cold water in, but the problem was that by the time it reached Laodicea, it was no longer hot or no longer cold. It was lukewarm. And this lukewarm water presented some challenges and some complaints from the people at Laodicea. Cold water was preferred to drink because it was refreshing. And sometimes they would heat water and drink warm spiced water, but for the most part, they wanted to drink cold water because it was refreshing. Hot water, on the other hand, was preferred for things like bathing and for some types of medicinal purposes. And lukewarm water was basically considered not good for anything. So the Laodiceans complained about lukewarm water. They didn't like it and in some ways had no use for it. Well, Jesus connects their disdain for lukewarm water and the challenge of lukewarm water to their approach to relationship with God and their approach to life. And it is something he says that he would undo. In fact, he says to them very clearly, I wish you were one or the other. Based on the purposes that they served, cold water or warm or hot water, either one was better than lukewarm. He just preferred that they would be one or the other. He challenges them to make a decision. Just figure this out and make a decision which one you want to be. But stop being lukewarm, because lukewarm leads to nowhere fast. Or at least nowhere we really want to be. There are times in our family where we need to make a decision about something. And it can be anything. It can be watching a movie. It can be about what game we're going to play. Or it can be what we're going to have for dinner. And very often in these circumstances, Denise, my wife, and I will look at each other and we will express some level of indifference. we will say, it doesn't matter, I don't care, it's up to you. Which interestingly has led me through the years to say if money was no object and time was no object and knowledge of a certain industry was no object, I would start a chain of restaurants. And the name of those restaurants would be, I don't care, it doesn't matter, it's up to you, I don't know. And so when the question comes about where you want to go for dinner tonight, well, it doesn't matter, done, that's where we're going. Or, I don't care, done, that's where we're going. It's up to you, done, that's where we're going. But regardless, these challenges come, we express this level of indifference. And if we're driving somewhere, like to or from an event or a basketball game or one of the kids' sporting things or something like that, I will often say, Denise, I just need you to make a decision. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. You just decide and let me know what you want me to do. And she'll come back with, well, it really doesn't matter to me either. And I'll say, if I don't get a decision, then I'm just going to continue driving home. And when we get home, we can just eat whatever's there. Well, it doesn't take long after or around that comment before we get some pretty significant input from the back seat. And we meet that significant input from the back seat with the words, we don't need your input. Let us just figure it out. But that's another story, and it's certainly not a story of indifference. Jesus likens the challenge of lukewarm water and says, I wish you were one or the other, because a lukewarm approach to life and relationship with God is not without its consequences. In fact, Jesus says, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now, most of the people in Laodicea at some time or another had tasted lukewarm water, and they didn't like it. In fact, one of the words that was probably used to describe lukewarm water was that it was disgusting. And tepid water, lukewarm water, tended to have a nauseating effect on the stomach. And that is the very point that Jesus is making about lukewarm approach to life and lukewarm approach to relationship with God. He just can't stomach it. And then he goes on to continue down this path of connecting their lukewarm approach to life to relationship with God. And here's what he says. He says, you say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. Laodicea was a very prosperous community. And when he connects their prosperity to their mindset and their approach and their attitude to life, Jesus identifies something at the root of indifference. They said, we're rich, we have everything we want, and we don't need a thing. About 35 years prior to this letter, the town of Laodicea had been destroyed. And when they went to rebuild, they refused to accept any government relief and rebuilt it on their own. And they built fantastic things. They built shopping malls and lavish bathhouses and theaters and athletic arenas. And it was just a place that became known for its prosperity, including a banking industry and a textile industry and a medical school, which produced an ointment for an ear abnormality and a powder that was used to cure eyes. They were very, very successful and very, very prosperous. And all of those were good things. But there was a fatal flaw that began to develop as they experienced these accomplishments. And it was self-sufficiency. All of these accomplishments led them to a place where they felt they could do everything on their own. And they had no need for anything from anyone. including God. And so they became indifferent to relationship with God. And sometimes they got to the point where they didn't even consider God in their approach to life anymore. And Jesus had a hard time accepting this. And he challenged them beyond that, saying, "You say you're rich. You say you have everything you need. And you don't need a thing from anyone." And this is in some ways understandable. This is something that happens to many of us. We begin to experience some success in some things. We begin to get in a good groove with life and things are going along okay. And all of a sudden, we begin to look at how life is going along okay, and we begin to identify the different things that we did, the things that we accomplished. And all of a sudden, all of those accomplishments become ours. And we get so focused on our own accomplishments that we kind of put God off to the side. And we put him a little more distant. And then we stop considering him altogether. And we become indifferent to God. Or sometimes we get so wrapped up in just making everything happen. And we get so wrapped up in what others think about us that we begin to fail to consider what God thinks about us anymore. You know, we snap the latest selfie or the latest picture and we throw it out there on social media. And then we start looking almost obsessively about how many likes we get to our picture, about how many comments we get, or sometimes, depending on what it is, even how many shares that we get on our social media posts. But did you know that many of the social media platforms are actually experimenting with removing the like feature? Because studies are showing this unhealthy obsession with what others think about us is beginning to eat away at our souls. And not only is it eating away at our souls, but as it eats away at our soul, it's eating away at our relationship with God. And Jesus can't stomach it. But Jesus says the way that they think, you know, they say they're rich, they have everything they want, they don't need anything from anybody, including God. And Jesus says that the way they see themselves isn't really the way that they are. Because what he says is, and you don't realize, and he uses some pretty strong terms here, and you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind. He says to the Laodiceans, you think you're rich, you think you have everything you need, you think you have everyone, and you don't even realize that you're off base. You don't even realize that you're missing the mark in your approach to life and your relationship with God. You don't even realize that there's something missing because you're so self-absorbed in your own self-sufficiency. And that's how self-sufficiency and indifference often become partners. Without even knowing it, we become so self-absorbed that we don't even realize that we're not considering God anymore. And Jesus says that when we're like this, that we are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, and sometimes we don't even know it. Now, out of that list of things that Jesus mentioned, I'm not really sure which one of them I would choose if I had to choose one of the five. So I think for me, maybe instead of choosing one of those five, I would choose to discover a solution to indifference and not allow indifference to become my default. Fortunately, Jesus provides a solution when he says, "So be diligent and turn from your indifference." And the word that's used in this letter for turn kind of reinforces the earlier idea where Jesus says to just make a decision. Be one or the other. Be hot or be cold, but don't be lukewarm. But this time it's specifically in relationship to their indifference. He says to turn from that, to no longer allow that to become the default or to even become a part of your approach to life. And he says, so turn from that. Find a different way. Live differently than in this mode of self-sufficiency and indifference. And he says to be diligent. And the word be diligent there kind of reminds us or communicates to us or lets us know that this isn't a one-time decision to figure out a different way to live. This is an ongoing, everyday kind of thing. And so here's a great question on this, turning from indifference and being diligent. What is one thing you can do today to trust God more than your own self-sufficiency? Maybe it's standing up for someone who's been wronged in some way. And you may not know what everybody else is going to think about you or what anyone else is going to think about you. But what you know is that trusting God requires you to stand up for that person. Maybe it's serving someone in some tangible way because you know that it's going to stretch you out of your comfort zone. And it's going to challenge you to trust God more. Maybe it's asking for forgiveness from someone that you've wronged in some way. Or granting forgiveness to someone who's wronged you in some way. Even if they don't ask for it. Maybe it's saying no to something so you can say yes to something else. Or maybe it's saying yes to something that you should have been saying yes to all along. This is an everyday challenge. It's being diligent and turning from our indifference. And I don't know about you, but sometimes the routine of life, when things are normal, the routine of life can sometimes lead to whatever. When things are normal, I get up, I get ready, I take the kids to school, I come into the office, tend to some details, work on some message prep, tend to some more details, attend a few meetings, have some check-in calls, and then head out of the office to go and connect with Denise and the kids, to get them wherever they need to be and do whatever we need to do as a family. And then we come home, we eat dinner, unless we decide to eat dinner out somewhere, but as you've heard earlier, deciding where we go to dinner isn't always an easy thing. And then wrap up the evening, go to bed, get up the next day, and do it all over again. And sometimes this routine just leads to an indifference. Not out of anything negative, not out of anything wrong or anything bad, but just out of routine. Out of what becomes the mundane. And when we get into the mundane and we get into the indifference and approach to our life and relationship with God, it's something that Jesus would undo. And he doesn't offer to undo it with just a solution to say, so be diligent, turn from your indifference. He offers to come alongside of us. He offers to engage in relationship with us to help us move from indifference to full connection and engagement in right relationship with God. He says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Jesus says that he is wanting, desiring, willing to become a part of our lives. He's knocking at the door. And that if we answer the door, and here's the thing with this. It's not difficult to open a door when someone knocks on it. We simply have to choose to open that door. Now, it's okay, and we teach our kids, and even as adults, when somebody knocks on the door, we make sure to look outside and know who it is. And so we look outside this door, and we recognize that Jesus is knocking at the door to our life. And all we have to do is open it. And when we open that door, Jesus makes a promise that he will come in. He will be a part of our lives. And we will share a meal together as friends. He will enter into our lives in relationship. He will connect with us and be a part of our lives as we navigate this journey together. The question, what would Jesus do, is a great question. And it's one that we should ask and answer. No matter how near to God you would describe yourself, no matter how far or disconnected from God you would describe yourself, it's a great question to ask. What would Jesus do? Because no matter where you stand in relationship with God, the answer to the question, what would Jesus do, will make your life better and make you better at life. Even if you're disconnected from God, just try some of them. Try some of what Jesus would do and see if it doesn't make your life better. But there is another question that is equally important to ask. And that is, what would Jesus undo? Jesus would undo indifference in our approach to life and relationship with God. And so as we wrap up this time together, what can you do intentionally, strategically, diligently, every day to trust God? What can you do that will require you to trust God more than your own self-sufficiency and move you out of a life of indifference? Let me pray for you today. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for each and every person that is connected in this first part of the series, What Would Jesus Undo? And as we have looked at this letter that Jesus wrote to this church about an aqueduct system that delivered hot and cold water that became lukewarm by the time it was there, may none of us find ourselves in a position of indifference. And may each and every one of us figure out what we can do each and every day to trust you more than our own self-sufficiency. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you again for connecting with us. If there's a way that we can serve you, simply reach out to us. I hope that you will connect with us again next week as we consider part two of the series, What Would Jesus Undo? Check out the preview. Have a great week until we connect again.